Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
Hello and welcome to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And today we are broadcasting the New Year's Eve show. How exciting is this? We're going to have a whole wonderful new year, and boy, I can't wait for 2014 to show up. Boy, oh boy, I was chasing loose dogs this morning and helping all kinds of people with aggressive little Yorkie mixes and all kinds of stuff. But the great thing about that is that dogs are dogs, and because dogs are dogs, dogs do what dogs do. Well, what do dogs do, and what do dogs need? And what do you do when you got your little Christmas puppy? Congratulations to all of you for rescuing a dog and doing the right thing and helping us to prevent the senseless euthanasia of 4 million dead dogs. 4 million dogs killed every year in shelters and rescues around this country. Not to mention number of cats who are killed in shelters, which is about 4 to 5 times that. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about nutrition today. How can nutrition be very important for your shelter dog? Well, many of the shelters, because of the constraints of financial and other reasons, feed cheap food. So the shelter dogs, many of them, are on foods that contain some really bad stuff. Some dog food is okay, but most dog food, probably 90-95% of shelters feed dogs food that has things in it that can actually cause behavioral changes. Why would you feed your child things like sugar and all kinds of toxic stuff that's going to make your kids hyper and make them sick and die? You wouldn't do that, would you? Well, dogs need not to have certain ingredients, and unfortunately, many, many shelters have different situations where, of course, they don't have enough food. So they work on donations, and they get the food that's donated instead of food that's good for them. So sometimes you'll take your dog out of a shelter, and the dog might be fearful, the dog might be aggressive, the dog might be acting out. And you can actually help your dog's behavior by putting your dog on a better quality food. So as soon as you get that dog, of course, they're going to give you a bag of the junk it's been on. I mean, oops, the things that are a subject in school, that brand, or healthful, flavorful, awful, horrible food, that we know what that is, or any of these other many, many cheap, garbagey foods. And some of the dogs in the shelters are actually behaving worse and are having more problems because they are, unfortunately, on these junky foods. So what we really need to do is we need to make sure that these dogs are going to be able to be set up for success, not for failure. We want to set our dogs up to succeed. We want to set them up with the best food available, with the best vitamins available. When you get your shelter dog and you've rescued, and thank you for rescuing to those who have rescued, and I, as a Rhodesian Ridgeback breeder of Grand Champion and Champion, Westminster-winning, AKC Ace Award-winning, AKC Yukonuba Championship-winning dogs, I am the biggest proponent of rescue because there are wonderful, wonderful dogs out there in shelters and rescues right now waiting to be adopted or waiting to be killed. You can make that decision to save a dog's life. So maybe you get your purebred dog. Maybe you get your Grand Champion Rhodesian Ridgeback. Maybe you get your Grand Champion Poodle. Maybe you get that beautiful purebred Golden. But maybe you have a little more space in your heart and your home to rescue another pup. And it's a great thing. Rescuing saves lives. We want you to help us to save the world 2 lives at a time. Now, you know Merlin's kid. And we were on, this past week, we were on the Today Show with Kathy Lee Gifford, who is a beautiful, wonderful, warm, adorable person. Just, she was crying because we were talking, and she could see what Wyatt was doing for little Aiden. And it was really beautiful. And Hoda, who has a smile that could light up the world, beautiful, beautiful ladies, we were able to talk and to reach so many people. And it's really important to understand that there are great dogs out there. There are dogs out there that we can take, Merlin's kids and United Canine Professionals. We take these dogs from shelters and rescues. We not only rehabilitate them and get rid of their behavioral issues, but we actually make them into certified, incredible service dogs that can save the child's life, save somebody. So we have to do something. We have to help to prevent this senseless euthanasia of these dogs. So think about rescuing first. You can rescue a purebred dog. You can rescue a mixed breed. The coolest thing is going in and seeing these dogs who you say, wow, that's the cutest dog I ever saw. Look how he looked at me. I love this dog. I'm taking him home. Well, we take them home, but we've got to do right by them because we don't want them to wind up right back in the shelter or right back in the rescue group. We want to make sure that the dog we take and that every dog can be healthy and happy and be wonderful in our home. So in our second segment, we're going to talk about different foods and different treats and different things that you're going to be able to do to help your dog to be healthy, to be happy, and to live a very long, wonderful life with you and your family. So let's talk for a moment about what kind of dog is a good dog for your family. Well, we'll talk more in depth about this later in the show, but think about your family's lifestyle. Please don't get a Bernese Mountain Dog Labrador mix if you have children with allergies. They shed all over the place. You'll have, they call them burner buddies. You'll have little burner bunnies all over your house. You'll have so much hair, and your child will be allergic to the dander. And what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to return that dog to the shelter. So make sure that if you need a dog who's hypoallergenic, there are many, many poodle mixes in shelters. You'd be surprised. You don't have to go out and buy a golden doodle or labradoodle or cockapoo or whatever these crazy combinations are coming up with. I just saw a cocker spaniel Shar Pei mix somebody paid $4,000 for. And guess what? It's an unpredictable 70-pound aggressive dog. I mean, come on, people. You could have rescued a great dog, and the $4,000 you saved, you could have given to Merlin's kids. You could have given to other charities to help people instead of giving some quote-unquote breeder $4,000 for a mutt. You can go get the best dog in the world. He or she is waiting at the shelter for you right now. If you live in an apartment or if you have more of a sedentary lifestyle, consider choosing an older pet and maybe a moderate to smaller size pet. Don't pick a 100-pound dog when you live in a little, you know, walk-up, you know, apartment and you weigh 90 pounds because it's not really an appropriate size animal for you. You want to think about the animal too. Yes, we want to rescue, but we don't want to just rescue and warehouse the dog in another place until you have to give it up. Now you've broken its heart again. We want to think with our heads, not always with our hearts. Act with your heart, but think with your head. So if you live in an apartment, a small to medium-sized dog, maybe a 20 to 30-pound dog, would be great. The dog will be happy. If you're a young couple, you've just recently gotten married, and you both are very active, and you love to jog and love to run and are always out, well, you might want to get a nice little lab mix, or you might want a larger dog that can, you know, kind of absorb the time with you and take that and go out for an hour and run. We're going to talk much more about this in the next segment of the show, so please stay tuned. From shelter dog to service dog, we'll return in one moment.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo, to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be Healthy Goo, healthy.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, we were talking last segment about different nutrition and different things you should be doing for your dog. Well, one of the important things is setting your dog up for success when you get the dog back, making sure you've got the right dog when you come home. Please don't adopt a pit bull if you're a 90-year-old woman and you can't walk the dog. But please adopt a pit bull if you're a young couple who's going to be very active. Or if you're an empty nester who's, you know, not 80 years old and can walk that dog, because pit bulls can be wonderful, wonderful pets. We all hear about the horror stories, and certainly as a natural canine behaviorist, master of natural canine behavior, and have fixed more than 25,000 dogs in my life, you know, I definitely have seen my share of, you know, bad breeds or bad breeding. But part of that is making sure you set that dog up to succeed. Make sure you're not setting your dog up for failure. So if you put, let's say, a pit bull on something that contains wheat, wheat, in our United Canine Professionals' opinion, because we have noticed this from working with tens and tens of thousands of dogs with issues, with behavioral problems, we have never seen a dog that was on wheat or anything, any of these horrible things that they're putting in food, that the dog wasn't aggressive or didn't have some kind of issues, either hyperactivity or behavioral issues. Certain things, think about somebody who's on a grain-free, gluten-free diet. They're not bloated. They feel better. They are healthier. Well, look at the ingredients in some of the foods that you guys are giving your dog. We need to avoid things like corn. Corn is indigestible even in humans. You ever go to a clam bake? Corn in, corn out. Not to be too graphic, but you definitely remember you had corn the day before. Now, in dog food, obviously, if, you know, if you had chunks of corn coming out the dog's other end, you probably would say, look, Martha, there's corn coming out of our dog's rear end. Where'd that come from? Must be in his food. Well, the companies are smart enough to market it and merchandise it, and I got in quite a discussion with one of the major food companies this past week while I was home Christmas Day, and unfortunately, what happens is they put a lot of corn in there, and they say, oh, well, it's a very high-quality source of protein. Can you imagine dogs in the wild grazing in a cornfield, and then they say, ooh, do I want to eat that dead rabbit we just killed? I think I'm going to eat the ear of corn. I love sweet corn. The other problem is all our corn is now genetically modified, so it's junk to start with. We eat corn once in a great while. Imagine your dog eating corn. imagine your kids eating sugar and candy and cookies and junk and eating at fast food restaurants constantly. What would happen? Your kid would probably die young of all kinds of diseases and health issues. Plus, he'd be hyper. You'd be ready to lock him away in his bedroom and tell him that when you're 18, I'll let you out and you can leave. Well, why do we give our dogs things that have corn in them? Corn is corn syrup and corn sugar and all kinds of things. And some foods will say, our number one ingredient is chicken. That's great. Let's say there's 20% chicken in there and there's 19% corn gluten. And there's 18% whole ground corn, and there's 17% corn solids, and there's 16% sorghum, and there's 15%. You know, what happens is that means 80% is fillers, and 20% is chicken. And that's in a food that's actually using a whole actual chicken and using the meat of the chicken rather than using the gunk. Well, another thing we want to avoid, because it can cause hyperactivity. Let's face it, sugar, look at all the sodas and all the, you know, soda pop that's out there. It's all got corn syrup in it, right? All right. The next one is wheat. Wheat is the number one cause of food-related aggression in animals. Wheat with a pit bull or a bully breeds or a number of the breeds that are out there, it can actually cause dogs to be aggressive. It can cause them to be hyper. It can cause them, whatever issues they have, it intensifies it. It doesn't make them healthier. It makes them worse. Okay? So wheat also causes, number one cause of ear infections, number one cause of the skin on the belly turning black. It's from wheat, gluten. It's not good for dogs. Dogs wouldn't eat that naturally. It just won't happen. Well, the other thing that wheat can cause, it is the pads of the feet. It can cause also, like some of the dogs who have tear stains. It's an allergen. It can cause diarrhea. It can cause vomiting. It can cause all kinds of things. The food companies pay their veterinarians who sell their soul probably to pay off their vet school debt from all the loans they took out to go to the vet school. And a lot of them, not all vets, because most vets are wonderful, wonderful, and go into it for the right reasons. But when you have a veterinarian who's paid by, you know, the multinational companies who own all the big pet store companies and pet food companies right now, you know, they're paying their veterinarians to say whatever they need them to say. Because if they said, hey, you know, corn really stinks, I'm not going to recommend it, they'd say, sorry, you're fired. They're not going to pay somebody who's going to say what they don't want them to say. That's the world. So wheat is bad. Wheat is really bad, especially if your dog is fearful, fear-aggressive, or dominant-aggressive. It does not need wheat. Wheat has no value to a carnivore. And don't say, yes, dogs eat the other things and grains and all. Yes, they would eat whatever grasses and vegetables and things might be in the animal that they killed belly. But, you know, basically dogs eat meat. That's what they do. They're carnivores. They're not omnivores. They only will eat what's the contents of the stomach because it's warm and it's already pre-digested. But I assure you that, you know, little bunny rabbits are not running around jumping to the top and grabbing an ear of corn if they can. They're going to look for things that are in the ground and grasses and berries and, you know, carrots and things like that. So the last one is soy. Soy causes gas. And in a little dog, it makes them, you know, kind of gassy. You guys blame the dog for, you know, when you're passing gas. You're blaming the dog anyway. But for a larger dog, it can actually cause so much gas that it can cause a torsion or a twisting of the stomach. And the dog's stomach can twist and turn over. And what happens is nothing can pass through anymore. So the peristaltic action of the intestines, the body keeps doing what it's doing. But the gas can't pass through the intestines past the stomach because the stomach has flipped over. And when that happens, it's called bloat. That's deadly. Your animal, it's a surgical emergency. Your animal can and probably will pass and die. We don't want that. We don't want to kill our dogs. We want to do the right things for our dogs and give them the good things. Because, you know, let's face it, they're going to eat what we give them, or some of them won't even eat it, and then we put other things on it. If your dog is not happy to eat the food you put down after you do what we teach you, then the dog should be on a different food. You can always add other little nice things. You got to get rid of the corn, wheat, and soy. couple of other things, BHA, BHT, chemical preservatives. They extend the shelf life of food so that a company can buy, you know, mega pallets of this food, and it's good into the next millennium. Stuff will be good when we hit the 3,000s because it won't rot away. But it's toxic to our dogs. It's tumorigenic and carcinogenic, which means it causes tumors, causes cancer, and it causes behavioral issues. Hello, people. That's why you're listening. You might have a dog with a behavioral issue. Get them off corn, wheat, soy, BHA, BHT, byproducts. Ooh, we're going to talk about that next segment because that's just gross, and I'm going to eat dinner soon. Hang in there. Stay tuned for the next segment of From Shelter Dog to Service Dog.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Attention all pet lovers! Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust, mites, and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's PAWSNSILK.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
Welcome back. And we are talking about foods and additives and things that are terrible that you never want to give to your dog. Well, we were talking about avoiding corn, wheat, soy, BHA and BHT, byproducts. Now, this is getting really gross. If you guys haven't eaten dinner yet, you might want to listen to an archived show of this one because this is pretty gross. Byproducts, remember, you know, like they have those great rotisserie chickens at Costco and Boston Market. Imagine those wonderful, delicious chickens. Well, no, it's not that part, because we can eat that part. And it's not the bone. It's the beaks, the eyeballs, the rectums. It's the feathers. It's all the parts of the chicken that are not fit for human consumption. Byproducts are horrible. And not only byproducts, but they contain organ meats, and they also contain all the filtration systems of the body, like the liver, the kidneys, and all the other organs that can be really, really full. Even with an organically raised animal, they can still be really full of that. So if we're able to actually think about it, that we're feeding them all kinds of crud, that crud is really, really, really going to be toxic to their system. So no byproducts. Then we get into the yummy part. We get into things like animal digest. And we've talked about this before. No animal digest. Animal digest is even worse because that's all the disgusting parts. We're talking the digestive tract. We're talking about some of the organs that they can't even use, like liver. These are like disgusting stuff, like adrenal glands and like all kinds of like anal glands. Just think about putting your animal eating anal glands from another animal. Oh my God, that's disgusting. So if you are feeding your dog those things, not only is it toxic, but it's pretty gross. You're feeding your dog that stuff and you're kissing them on the lips. I mean, I kiss my dogs on the lips, but at least I know they're eating chicken or beef, not eating that. That's horrible. Well, the other thing, propylene glycol. We've talked about this one before, propylene glycol. You know, ethylene glycol, propylene glycol, these are they're actually things in antifreeze. That's what makes antifreeze sweet. So we don't want to use things like that. Come on. I mean, would we give our kids cancer? Would we want to give them, have our little kids smoking? You wouldn't want to have toxins in your kids' bodies. Why do you want to give them to your dog? Why do you want to pay somebody to poison your dog? Think about it. We don't want to do that at all. Well, that's a lot of things with nutrition. We definitely want to talk about that because it's so important. But imagine if you get your dog. Now, how do you switch your dog from a really, really junky food to a really, really good food? What's the first thing that's going to happen? Your dog is going to wind up having diarrhea. He may even get a little sick. Is it the good food going in, or is it instead the junk food coming out? It's the junk coming out, people. Ever go on a juice fast? What's the first thing that happens when you go on a juice fast? You know what happens? You get diarrhea. You're drinking juice. You're not eating anything. How can you get diarrhea? Well, that's what the detox is. It's removing the crud that's crusted on the inside of your colon, your bowel, your intestines, your stomach. It's flushing out all that toxic crud. That's why your dog is getting diarrhea. So what you can do when you're switching over food, I mean, I want to get my dog off the junk as quickly as I can, right? Why do you want to keep letting the kids smoke? Get them off of the cigarettes. So what you would do is you can add about half as much white rice like you get from the Chinese restaurant that's a little al dente, and get a little bucket of rice, of white rice, and let's say you're feeding your dog about a cup a day. You would split that. Obviously, you want to feed him half in the morning and half at night as long as he's over 8 months of age. And then what you're going to do is fit in about half as much rice. So in other words, if you're giving your dog, let's say, half a cup in the morning and half a cup at night, just for a few days, add about a quarter of a cup, so about half as much as you're giving the kibble. You can give that, and yeah, it might be a couple calories, but then you can start backing off of the rice and adding back the kibble. This way, your dog probably won't get diarrhea, but it'll still get rid of all the toxins. And don't be surprised if your dog has rancid-smelling poops while he's first month or so after he's got all this junk coming out of him, because it's toxic. I mean, let's face it, guys, you're blaming everybody. You're blaming the dog anyway, but when you're, you know, you got your dog on this junk food, you know, probably it is the dog. So, ladies, you can't blame them for everything, although we try. Well, one of the things we're going to be doing also is making sure that, you know, when we, oh, and here, barking dogs, we're at a client's house right now. It's okay because we're here and we're in the real life, real situation, broadcasting live from Oakland, New Jersey, working with a really adorable, kind of aggressive dog, but it's okay. So anyway, what we want to make sure that we can do while we're out there and helping dogs, we want to make sure that we're teaching. So educate your friends, educate your family. Tell them about this. Don't let them keep feeding healthful, flavorful, awful foods. Help them to understand why they should be feeding a better quality food and what they should be doing. Don't get mad at them. Don't get frustrated with them. Just tell them what to do and explain and tell them about our show. Tell them about From Shelter Dog to Service Dog, 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time every Tuesday night. Tell them about our other show, For the Love of Dog, on Friday nights, also 7 p.m. Eastern Time, because they can learn and tell people, rescue if at all possible. You can even rescue a purebred dog if you want. Just rescue, and please don't patronize puppy mills. Well, I wanted to get to that. We're going to get to that right now. Why would we patronize people who are breeding mixed breed dogs for profit? Why would we do that? Can you imagine taking the number one dog in the country, let's say the number one poodle in the country, let's say who won at Westminster Best in Show, and why would that person breed to a number one Labrador Retriever in the world? They wouldn't, because breeders, real breeders, legit breeders, will breed to better their breed. they will breed to make the breed stronger, to make it live longer, to make it have a better temperament, to make it a better dog so that people can enjoy this wonderful dog with a great temperament and beautiful movement for many, many years with health, not with genetic issues. So what winds up happening is these people who are breeding mixed breed dogs, and, you know, do I mind the dog? No, I love all dogs. I love poodles. I love all kinds of dogs. I love Ridgebacks. Love my hounds. But the problem is that these people are taking dogs who are probably pet store quality. And you know what? Most breed clubs, most legitimate clubs and kennel clubs will not even let you be in that kennel club if you aren't, if you're doing anything like, let's say you're shipping dogs, or you have a breeder's in Missouri, let's say, and you're buying a Golden Doodle or whatever, or Ohio or wherever. Well, if they ship you a dog, would you send your kid somewhere you never even met the people? Well, you would if you were selling your kid to the gypsies and were just interested in getting the money. So remember, mixed breed dogs, even though your dog, your puppy is adorable, we love him, but his mother and father are still living in a pigsty, in filth, in the Midwest somewhere, and they don't deserve that. Mothers who are 5 and 6 years old who've had 10 litters already, had 5 years, 6 years old, they just breed them every 6 months when they go into heat. We're going to talk more about that in the next segment of From Shelter Dog to Service Dog. Stay tuned.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Dennis Wolf. Well, we were talking a little bit about those famous puppy mills. And, you know, we're not knocking people who are breeding good quality dogs. We're not knocking people for doing that. But the problem is there are so many dogs out there who need rescuing. And, hey, I'm a grand champion breeder. You know, I breed dogs to better my breed. I breed the top Ridgebacks in the country. But I can go rescue, and I've rescued probably for every dog I produce, I probably rescue 15 dogs because I can find exactly what I need. I can find the exact size and shape and color and temperament, and I can evaluate that dog as an adult. I've heard people, especially people who think they know how to train service dogs or claim to train them or claim to have affiliations with legitimate companies and don't even have that legitimate affiliation because they've never done that. I've seen people, even in the Midwest, in Texas, there are people out there who claim to train service dogs who've never trained a service dog in their life and have no clue of how to do it. Well, the problem is I've heard, and it's so wrong and so misguided, and it just shows how stupid people are. I'm sorry, people. I'm going to tell you, I've had it with stupid people because stupid people breed dogs for money, and stupid people who are saying, hey, you can only know how a dog's temperament's going to be if you raise it from a puppy, that's ridiculous. You know, I would venture to say that most of you out there who are married, or happily married especially, probably didn't grow up in the same house with your spouse. Now, I have a brother. He's wonderful. His name is Jeff. I have two beautiful nephews, Zachary and Joshua, and they are awesome. And my sister-in-law, Carrie, who is the best and amazing cook. And, you know, all of these people, Carrie and Jeff didn't meet. That wasn't my sister and my brother. This isn't Jerry Springer, folks. This isn't Maury Povich, who's unfortunately gone to the depths of the Jerry Springers. And I say, they're both great guys, but listen, your shows are ridiculous, guys. Put something good on. Put something nice on. Be like Kathy Lee and Hoda. They had me on. They had these amazing people on who do great things. But we don't want to see people, you stole my baby daddy. You know what? That's ridiculous. But people are able to meet somebody who is an adult. I met my husband as an adult. I didn't meet him when I was, you know, growing up with him because that was my brother I grew up with. And as much as I love him, I don't think I could ever be married to my brother. And, you know, of course, if you live in maybe, you know, I don't want to knock a state, but, you know, in some of the Midwest, the jokes about it, you know, you don't want to have inbreeding. But people grow up in a house with their brothers and sisters and they don't usually get along. But for our spouses, 99% of the time, you meet, what, in college, or you meet at a friend's house, or you meet at a party, or you meet somewhere in church or wherever, and you assess and evaluate the adult temperament of that person. You don't wait and say to his mother, well, how was he at bath time? Oh, he was a bad napper? Oh, he used to throw his food, and he doesn't put the toilet seat down? Oh, I'm not going to marry him. You don't care because you assess and evaluate the adult temperament of something. And you say with a dog, now, of course, I have my puppies and all that, but my puppies are super, super well-bred. They're generations and generations and generations of champions and grand champions. When I look at a dog in a shelter, my first thought is, this is great. This dog's already a year and a half old. I don't have to go through the housebreaking and the teething. I can spend 4 to 6 months instead of 2 years with this dog because I can take that dog out of the shelter and try him out. I can see, and we have our wonderful gal in Baltimore, Becca Steinbach, who's got an amazing, amazing thing that she's going to be doing through Merlin's Kids, merlinskids.org. And hey, you know what? You can still make your charitable donation for this year, if you go on our website, www.merlinskids.org, and you can get, of course, because we're legally recognized for many, many years, 501c3. Becca's got this great thing, and what she does is she takes dogs who are going to be in shelters and rescues, and she lets people try the dogs out. And we've done that with Merlin's Kids. When we have dogs, we check them out so that we make sure we find the right match of dog and child or dog and human or dog and dog. So when we evaluate this adult temperament of the dog, we're able to see whether that dog is going to fit in. Rather than taking a puppy, wasting a year and a half and saying, he doesn't like to walk up marble staircases. Well, you got a disabled person in a wheelchair. I don't think they're going to be going up and down too many marble staircases. So think about it. Think like a dog. Think like a smart human. There are not too many of us anymore. And think of how we can rescue dogs. So if somebody comes in and breeds mixed breed dogs, and you say, oh, my God, Janice, you hate mixed breed dogs. That is so not true. I have probably a third of my dogs are mixed breed. I got my Lexi, who, as nearly as I can figure it, Lexapro, she's probably, well, she's got some ridge back because she's got a ridge on her neck that makes her look like a little Tyrannosaurus Lex, L-E-X, not R-E-X. And Lexi's probably got maybe Puggle and maybe Minpin and maybe a little ridge back, and that's a very interesting one. We've got Charlie, who's a plot hound mix. We had Princess, she's a Roddy Shepherd something else mix. We've had a lot of really, really wonderful dogs, and they're all mixed breed. So, you know, you can go into the shelter and pick exactly what you want. You don't have to go through the puppy chewing. Your kids are going to not pay attention to the dog anyway. Let's face it, most kids are going to be excited about the puppy for the first, 30 minutes, and then they're, going to go play with their friends, and mom can be stuck with the dog. And don't stick mom with a dog she doesn't want. Give mom a great dog. There's such amazing, amazing shelter dogs out there. And the rescue groups are awesome because those rescue groups will actually support you. And, UnitedCanineProfessionals.com, United, the letter K, number 9, United Canine Professionals, you can reach us at 855, the number 4, K, the number 9, PROS, P-R-O-S. United Canine Professionals, we're looking for more people. We've got people in 37 states. We are all over the place, and we give a lifetime guarantee because if you have one of us come over to help you with your dog, whether it's a shelter dog or a rescue dog or a purebred dog, and if you move to any of those 37 states, you know what? You get for free for the lifetime of your dog, you get us. So if you're in New Jersey and I help you in New Jersey, and then you move out to Texas, or you move to, oh my Lord, any of 37 states, including Alaska, we will continue to work with that dog for free of charge for the rest of the life of that dog. You know what's great about that? We have a commitment that once we start working with your dog, we have a commitment. That becomes one of our dogs. And if you have issues with that dog, for whatever reason, we will come out for the life of that dog and help you. Well, what does that mean? Sometimes we'll have a shelter who will say, hey, we've got a dog and we're going to adopt it out to these people, but the dog has like a lifetime guarantee. What does that mean? It means that for the rest of the life of that dog, even if you give that dog up, whoever is right near you from United Canine Professionals is going to come and help you for free, even though you never even paid us, because that dog has a lifetime commitment from us. We're going to talk more about that in the next segment, our last segment for the new year, for the old year, on From Shelter Dog to Service Dog. Stay tuned.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
And welcome back to our final segment on From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, we were talking about shelter dogs, and we're talking about how you can help your dog, and how maybe you want to help save these 4 million dogs from being euthanized every year. We can help you. You know, we have so many people who call us. We have a wonderful, wonderful training school. We can teach you, if you've got the right energy, if you've got the right passion, we can teach you not only how to help us save the world two lives at a time through MerlinsKids.org, 855. Hi, Wyatt. And through UnitedCanineProfessionals.com, we can help you. If you love animals and you want to help to save the world and prevent these dogs from dying, one dog at a time, one human at a time, two lives at a time, you can contact us. We'll be starting a new session in about 6 weeks. And, you know, we need people all over the country. We'd like to fill in from other states. We do have a couple more states coming on board, but we've got so many people, you can't even imagine how wonderful it is. If we can have each of our people, even only 1,000 dogs in their lifetime, which is nothing, if we're able to save, each person can save 1,000 dogs, and we have 200 people, think of that. 200,000 dogs, we could prevent them from dying. If we had 400 people in this country, we could save 400,000 dogs. And if we can teach you, and you can get out there, and you can share and help us by educating the public, by helping to teach people, please spay and neuter your dogs. Man, I've never gotten a dog out of Georgia that has been spayed or neutered. That's scary. Now, the dogs up here in the, you know, Northeast and in California, a lot of us, most of us, you know, if we don't have a Grand Champion show dog, obviously I'm not going to neuter Wyatt. He's, you know, top dog, and he produces amazing puppies only with certain females that I allow him to be bred to because I'm very, very selective. But, you know, if you get a dog who's subpar, and I don't mean that it's not the best dog in the world, but if you have a dog with bad hips or you have a dog who's got a predisposition to some kind of disease, why would you want to do that? Why would you want to set your dog up to fail because of health issues? Set your dog up for success, not for failure. So you might want to join. You might have a daughter, a sister, a brother, a grandson. You might have a friend, a neighbor, a rescue person in a different state who might want to help us on our mission to save the world 2 lives at a time. We also are trying to take, and right now we've got great dogs that we pulled out of Georgia. And, you know, some of these dogs, we're going to be training to do cancer detection. We train that. We've been doing that. I've been doing that for a long, long time. And we've been doing this with our dogs. As a matter of fact, I'll share a little thing with you today that happened. That's pretty amazing. And no, it wasn't with a shelter dog, but it shows you the what those dogs can do, what these dogs can be capable of. We do this. We definitely track when we have, you know, a dog missing or a child missing. We do that. But today something crazy happened. One of our dogs who was in a foster, just was put in a foster literally within the last day or two. Well, somebody left the gate open at the house. The dog ran away. Well, I get a phone call. I rush down. I threw Whisper D Bunny Dog into the car, and I said, I'm going to go find this dog. Well, I'm screaming his name, and as I'm screaming the dog's name, it was like magic. Whisper stopped. She put her nose up in the air, pulled me a little bit, which this dog doesn't even have to be on a leash. She pulled me. She pulled me a little bit, and she started tracking. And she tracked. We were out there for about an hour, so it was maybe 2 or 3 miles. And she tracked this dog. And I, every so often, I saw toenails in the mud. I said, wow, she's going to find them. Kept going, lost the scent. Oh, man, lost the scent. I was really heartbroken. I said, oh, my God, we're not going to find this dog. So what very nice man named Sal and his wife, Sal came and he said, all the dogs who run away in this area, they all go up there behind the school, up that way. We should go up there because that's probably where the dog is. I said, well, okay. And I started heading over. And Whisper said, she started pulling me the other way. So everybody else went the other way because that's where most dogs run away to. Whisper tracked this dog all the way through the woods, exactly where she had picked up the scent the first time. But she started taking me a different route this time. She caught his scent again, and he must have returned. And as he returned, she caught his scent. I started screaming the dog's name, screaming. I got to find you, buddy. Please come to me. Please come to me. Whisper found him. She tracked this dog until she found him. She's amazing. Now, yes, Whisper's a grand champion. And yes, she's Wyatt's sister. And yes, she's brilliant. And yes, she's a purebred. Yeah. She doesn't know that. She could very well have been a shelter dog. The point is, if I didn't have that beautiful connection to her, and if I didn't want to have that responsibility to care for her, to protect her, to provide for her needs, to love her, to just all those things, you know, she wouldn't have done that. She did that because she wanted to. She did that because, not because she was ordered to, but she was asked to. And she rose to the challenge, and it was wonderful. And thank God we found this beautiful dog, and he's safe and sound now. But that could have been a shelter or rescue dog. We've had this happen. We've had shelter dogs. We've had a number of them who have tracked lost children. The parents can actually tell the dog, because we train it, obviously, and they tell the dog, find Jeremy, find Logan, find Andre, find Catherine, find Brian. And the dog will go and actually track the child and save the child's life. How cool is that? Well, you know what? Unfortunately, there are dogs dying tonight. There are dogs dying tomorrow. There are dogs dying every single day. And the problem is that the dog who might have saved someone's special needs child might have been put to sleep this morning because somebody didn't know how to help that dog and fix that behavioral issue so simply and so permanently. And instead, the dog wound up in a shelter, and 3 days later, the dog is dead. And the child, who might be in another state or another place, that child may never have a service dog. That child may run off and, God forbid, come to a very bad end. But that shelter dog, who you may save, you may foster, you may give a chance to, may save your life or your family's life. We had one of our service dogs who was a shelter dog, and who actually alerted the family when there was a fire starting. They had an electrical fire in their house. The dog wasn't even trained to do that. The dog smelled the smoke. The people didn't. The alarm didn't go off because the battery wasn't good in the smoke detector. But our dog from Merlin's Kids, which started as a shelter dog, was able to save that family's lives. That's what I'm talking about. You can't just say, oh, it's a dog. Those dogs are precious. Every life is precious. And in this season of giving and of thanking for what we have, let's try to get out there and help rescue as many dogs as we can and join up with our team. We have a huge team. We are America's most trusted team of canine behaviorists because we don't have two or three people in our company. We have over 100, and we have so many people trying to join us. They're amazing, wonderful people to train dogs, that want to train cancer detection dogs, service dogs for all kinds of different things, therapy dogs. We want you to join us, and we want you to be happy and healthy for the new year. Contact us at unitedk9professionals.com, merlinskids.org, 855. Hi, Wyatt. We wish you a wonderful, happy, healthy new year. God bless. Stay cool. Stay happy. Stay warm. And don't get drunk and drive, please. Don't make it a tragedy. Make 2014 the best year yet. God bless all of you. And thank you from Janice Wolfen, from Shelter Dog to Service Dog.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.